Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Purusha Sukta Confirm, Text 20. Paras Trayo Bahish Chasan Aprajanam Ya Ashramaha Antas Trilokyas Tvaparo Griha Medho Brihat Prataha Padastrayo Bahishchasan Aprajanam Yashramaha Antastrilokyas Tvaparo Griha Medo Brihat Prataha Padastrayo Bahishchasan Aprajanam yo ashramaha antas trilokyas tvaparo griha medo brihat prataha padastrayo bahishchasan aprajanam ya ashramaha Antas trilokyas tvaparo Griha medo brihat prataha Padastrayo bahishchasan Aprajanam yashramaha Antas trilokyas tvaparo Griha medo brihat prataha. Padastrayo bahishchasan. Aprajanam yashramaha. Tastrilokya chaparo. Ya medo brihat prataha Padastrayo bahishchasan Aprajanam yashramaha Atasrilokyas tvaparo Ya medo brihat prataha Rastayo Bahishasan Rastamaha Rastayo Kesaparo Rastayo Bahishasan Ashrama Sankaro Vihavrataha Padastrayo Bahishasa Aprajanamya Ashrama Antastrilokyas Tvaparo Priya Medo Brihat Prataha Padastrayo Bahishasan Amedo Brihat Prataha Vaishnavis Parasayo Bahishasan The cosmos of three-fourths of the Lord's energy. Bahi, thus situated beyond. Cha, and for all. Asan, were. Aprajanam, of those who are not meant for rebirth. Yea, those. Ashramaha, status of life. Andaha, within. Trilokaha, of the three worlds. Tu, but. Aparaha, others. Grihamedaha, attached to family life. Abrihat Vrataha, without strictly following a vow of celibacy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: the spiritual world, which consists of three-fourths of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world, and it is especially meant for those who will never be reborn, others who are attached to family life and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows, must live within the three material worlds. Purport: the climax of the system of Varnashram Dharma or Sanatan Dharma is clearly expressed here in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest benefit that can be awarded to a human being is to train him to be detached from sex life, particularly because it is only due to sex indulgence that the conditioned life of material existence continues, birth after birth. Human civilization in which there is no control of sex life is a fourth-class civilization, because in such an atmosphere there is no liberation of the soul encaged in the material body. Birth, death, old age, and disease are related to the material body, and they have nothing to do with the spirit soul. But as long as the bodily attachment for sensual enjoyment is encouraged, the individual spirit soul is forced to continue the repetition of birth and death on account of the material body, which is compared to garments subjected to the law of deterioration. In order to award the highest benefit of human life, the Varnashram system trains the follower to adopt the vow of celibacy, beginning from the order of brahmachari. The brahmachari life is for students who are educated to follow strictly the vow of celibacy. Youngsters who have had no taste of sex life can easily follow the vow of celibacy, and once fixed in the principle of such a life, one can very easily continue to the highest perfectional stage, attaining the kingdom of the three-fourths energy of the Lord. It is already explained that in the cosmos of three-fourths energy of the Lord, there is neither death nor fear, and one is full of the blissful life of happiness and knowledge. A householder attached to family life can easily give up such a life of sex indulgence if he has been trained in the principles of the life of a brahmachari. A householder is recommended to quit home at the end of 50 years, panchasord vam panam vrajet, and live a life in the forest. Then, being fully detached from family affection, he may accept the order of renunciation as a sannyasi, fully engaged in the service of the Lord, any form of religious principles in which the followers are trained to pursue the vow of celibacy is good for the human being, because only those who are trained in that way can end the miserable life of material existence. The principles of nirvana, as recommended by Lord Buddha, are also meant for ending the miserable life of material existence. And this process, in the highest degree, is recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, with clear perception of ideal perfection, although basically there is no difference between the process of Buddhist, Shankarites, and Vaishnavites. For promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness, not one of these processes allows the follower to break the vow of celibacy. The householders and persons who have deliberately broken the vow of celibacy cannot enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. The pious householders, or the fallen yogis, or the fallen transcendentalists can be promoted to the higher planets within the material world, one-fourth of the energy of the Lord, but they will fail to enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. Abrihat vratas are those who have broken the vow of celibacy. The vanaprastas are those retired from family life, and the sannyasis, or the renounced persons, cannot break the vow of celibacy if they want success in the process. The brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis do not intend to take rebirth, apraja, nor are they meant for secretly indulging in sex life. Such a fall down by the spiritualists may be compensated by another chance for human life in good families of learned brahmanas or of rich merchants for another term of elevation, but the best thing is to attain the highest perfection of deathlessness as soon as the human form of life is attained. Otherwise, the whole policy of human life will prove to be a total failure. Lord Chaitanya was very strict in advising his followers in this matter of celibacy. One of his personal attendants, Chotahari Das, was severely punished by Lord Chaitanya because of his failure to observe the vow of celibacy. For a transcendentalist, therefore, who at all wants to be promoted to the kingdom beyond material miseries, it is worse than suicide to deliberately indulge in sex life, especially in the renounced order of life. Sex life in the renounced order of life is the most perverted form of religious life, and such a misguided person can only be saved if, by chance, he meets a pure devotee. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshuan Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, yeah, this is a very challenging purport. Of course, there's always, you know, another side to things. But on, because this purport and verse are looking at things from a certain angle of vision, that's basically what I'm going to be talking about today. stated elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Pum Sastriya Mituni Bhava Metam, Tayor Mito Hridaya Grantamaho, Atogriya Chaitra Sutapta Vitayar Janasya Mahoyam Ahamameti. That verse means Pum Sastriya, the attachment between the male and the female. It's like a tight knot tied in the heart. And from that tight knot of mutual attraction, which is there in the heart, it leads to so many other things. In order to live such a life in the householder ashrama, it requires so many things. It requires, well, first of all, it generates a sense of I and mine. And there are so many things that are required. A house, wealth, then children come. They have to be taken care of. You're part of a whole society. You have to be so many complex political arrangements. Everyone needs to have some source of income and wealth, you know, and there have to be so many arrangements for that, you know, like we can see in society today, you know, the communities of families, they're in trouble, so the government's giving them extra money. So these complexities are there. So such personalities who remain entangled in such things never come to the platform of deathlessness. They remain entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So, and according to the Vedic principles, a real civilization is one that not only takes care of the material needs of the population of householders, but also provides an opportunity for the soul to become liberated, to be transferred from the one quarter of the Lord's energy, that is the material world with the cycle of birth and death, but gives them a chance to transfer to that three-force energy of the Lord that is beyond birth, beyond death. So that's quite a process. And to do that, certain principles are necessary. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha. There are principles that allow one to become freed from material entanglement. Karmana divine trena. It's jantur deo papataye. It's stated that the cause of the living entity being transferred from one material body to another in the cycle of samsara is karma. The conditioned souls in the material world, they are subjected to the results of their attempts to enjoy separately from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, they commit, you know, so many sinful activities, and this generates karma. Of course, it can be good karma, in which case the soul gets elevated to higher material levels of existence, but still within the material world, and they're still subjected to birth and death. And if the activities generate what we can call bad karma, then they create more and more suffering for the conditioned soul, who must go to the hellish planets or lower species of life in which there is more suffering. So the Vedic system provides some methods for becoming free of those reactions. So this verse from the Bhagavatam, Tapasa Brahmacharyena Shamena Cha Damena Cha, goes through, yes, there should be austerity, one should practice austerity, one should practice celibacy, brahmacharya, control the senses, control the mind, you know, offer charity to the proper persons. And by all these kinds of activities, the reactions of karma can be removed. However, that in itself is not sufficient, because it's described in that verse that these things, yes, they'll burn up the karma, just like a fire may burn the dry leaves of under a tree. But because the root is still there, it may burn the leaves and the twigs and everything, but because the root is still there, again, the plants will grow up. Like you might have weeds, like a field full of weeds, and you light a match, you burn it, so all the weeds, the dry weeds, are all burned. But because the root is still there, then eventually it comes up again. So there's something more than celibacy that is required if one is to become fit to enter the spiritual realm of existence. One has to develop pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are different processes for doing that. But in this present age, Haranama, Haranama, Haraname Vikevalam, Kalona Stevena, Stevena, Steva, Gatiranyata. The process of Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, is the recommended process. And Lord Chaitanya came to this world in a short time. We're going to be celebrating Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, I'm not a brahmachari, you know, I'm not a grihastha, I'm not a vanaprastha, I'm not a sannyasi, gopi pada kamalior das das anudas. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna, the Lord of the Gopis. So, in Lord Chaitanya's movement, there were many householders who were very advanced devotees. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have the concept of Grihastha Brahmachari. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada stressed that. You know, he arranged marriages for his disciples. He encouraged them. Sex life may be there, but only within marriage and only for the purpose of having children. But we may think, well, because Lord Chaitanya is not seeing himself as a brahmachari or a sannyasi or a vanaprastha or a householder, just servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then maybe there's some possibility of relaxing these very strict instructions that are being given in this purport and verse. But in this purport, we're being given the example of Lord Chaitanya's dealings with Chota Haridas, sometimes called Junior Haridas. Chota Haridas means the younger or smaller Haridas. So it's not the Haridas Thakur, you know, that we're so familiar with. So he was one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, and his service was to do kirtan and bhajan. So he was always singing, playing musical instruments, things like that. So there was one other associate of Lord Chaitanya, Bhagavan Acharya. You know, and he had come to Jagannath Puri and he became associated with the followers of Lord Chaitanya. And once his brother, Gopal Bhattacharya, came and visited him. And his brother was actually a Mayavadi. So he wanted to introduce his brother to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleasant with him, but he really didn't like him because he could understand that he was an impersonalist, a Mayavadi. So later, you know, Swarup Damodar kind of took Bhagavan Acharya's side and said, "Yeah, your brother is a Mayavadi, an impersonalist. How can you be associating so intimately with him and trying to introduce him to Lord Chaitanya?" And, you know, this, and Bhagavan Acharya said, "Well, we're advanced devotees. We're all fixed up. You know, a little Mayavadi philosophy isn't going to hurt anybody." And Swarup Damodar Goswami said to him, "No, you have to understand, hearing such a philosophy that really we don't exist, there's no eternal service to the Lord, you know, that this breaks the heart of devotee." So he became a little humble, and you know, he sent his brother away. And then, you know, he would offer to cook for Lord Chaitanya. So once he was cooking, he invited Lord Chaitanya to his house. He was going to cook for him. And he needed some rice. So, you know, he saw Chota Haridas was around. He said, come here. I need some rice. Could you go? I think Shika Mahiti's sister lives near here. Go to her place and ask from her. So, in one sense, you could just say, you know, like many younger devotees, he got tangled up with some older, more senior devotee who kind of told him to do something that turned out to be not exactly pleasing to Lord Chaitanya. So, Chota Haridas went to the house of Shika Mahiti's sister, whose name was Madhavi Devi. And Srila Prabhupada describes her as elderly and very advanced in spiritual life. So he went, he asked for some rice, he got it. Bhagavan Acharya cooked it. And then Lord Chaitanya came. And you know, said, "Oh, it's very nice preparations, especially the rice. Very nice. Where'd you get it?" Bhagavan Acharya said, "Well, it came from Madhavi Devi, Shika Mahiti's sister, very advanced devotee." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Who actually got it?" And he said, "Well, Chota Haridas fingered him." And Lord Chaitanya said, oh, that's nice, really fine. So Lord Chaitanya went back to the place where he was staying, and his servant, Govinda, was there. And he told Govinda, he just said to him, I don't want to see that Chota Haridas around here anymore. Just keep him out of my sight. So this kind of got spread around. You know, Chota Haridas, you know, he heard this. He couldn't figure out what I do, and he began to fast. He was going to fast, and the devotees thought, what's going on here? You know, so they approached Lord Chaitanya. And you know, they asked him, what did Chota Haridas do? He said, well, you know, he's associating with, you know, he's a member of the renounced order. He was associating with a woman. And yeah, you know, I just can't stand that. I don't want such a person around me. And, you know, they tried to convince him. I mean, it's not such a big offense. Maybe, all right, he'll behave himself in the future. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, you just stop talking. You know, I don't want to hear it. And if you keep it up, I'm going to leave. I'm going to take my servant Govinda with me, and you all can carry on. So they became a little concerned. And then they asked Paramananda Puri, who was a very senior sannyasi associated with Lord Chaitanya, maybe you can talk to him. And so one day Paramananda Puri goes to Lord Chaitanya and says, can't you be a little merciful to this person? You know, he's... And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, I think you should go back to your ashram. I'm going to Alalanath, you know, which is outside Jagannath Puri. And you stay here with all the devotees. I'm going. And and then the devotees approached Chota Haridas, who was still fasting. He was just determined to fast until death, basically. And they told him, okay, look, Lord Chaitanya is maintaining his angry mood against you, and his heart will soften. But for right now, for the foreseeable future, he is just so upset with you that if you keep persisting in this fasting and hanging around, then he's not going to be pleased. I mean, you know, Chota Haridas wouldn't go close to Lord Chaitanya, but when Lord Chaitanya would be out and about going to the Jagannath Puri temple, he would kind of be hanging around at a distance, kind of looking at Lord Chaitanya. And finally, they said, you stop this, maybe go away for some time. And so he went away. And he actually went to Prayag, where the Yamuna and the Ganges join. And at that place, he committed suicide by drowning at the place called Triveni, which is where these rivers come together. And when he left his body, he took the form of a Gandharva, a spiritual, Srila Prabhupada describes it as a spiritual form resembling that of a Gandharva. And he would go to Lord Chaitanya at night and sing. And only Lord Chaitanya could hear him at that time. And and Lord Chaitanya was merciful to him at that time. But the other devotees really didn't understand what happened. They thought, yeah, he must have gone somewhere and poisoned himself, and therefore, yeah, he must be in some hellish situation. Yeah, they Swarup Damodar told the devotees, no, because he knew what the real story was. Yeah, Chota Haridas went to Prayag and he gave up his life in the Ganges and Yamuna water. So, he went to a sacred place. He was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. He served him for many years. He was always engaged in kirtan like that. So, no, he's not in some hellish situation. And eventually, one time the devotees were taking bath in the ocean at Jagannath Puri, and suddenly they could also hear the sound of Chota Haridas's singing. And, they could understand, what the situation was. But on the platform of ordinary life, Lord Chaitanya maintained his position. A devotee, Srivas Thakur, one of the devotees from Mayapur, came to Jagannath Puri and was Shivananda Sen he was speaking to Lord Chaitanya, and he said, okay, where's Chota Haridas? And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't know. Everybody gets the results of their fruit of activities. And he maintained his position. He said, if somebody in the renounced order associates in an improper way with a female, with a woman, that's not good. So it's Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that in this pastime, Lord Chaitanya accomplished so many things, related to devotional service. But he still maintained this point. So even though on one level Lord Chaitanya is beyond brahmachari, sannyasi, vanapras, grihastha, he still would uphold these principles. So we have to take that a little seriously, even though it's very strict and challenging in many ways. So I'll stop there. And what time is it? Okay. All right. Okay, one question for Maharaj, or statement. Madhavi, I think her name is. Madhavi Devi.
So the question arises and has been asked of me. Well, we know he did not engage in illicit sexual relationships. However, there was something there that definitely Lord Chaitanya objected to. It was possibly double sexual activity. That could be there. But do you know exactly from your reading what the offense was?
the offense according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srila Prabhupada's purports, but I think even the verses of, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya said it wasn't appropriate for a sannyasi to approach a woman and confidentially speak to her. Yeah, because now I'm just going by what the Chaitanya Charitamrita has translated and commented upon by Srila Prabhupada. It says there are other sources that may mention, well, you know, because this lady was very elderly in addition, but you know, some authors say, oh, there, she had a daughter or a niece or something that was there, and there was something, like you said, subtle thing going on between them. But the way it's presented by Srila Prabhupada, which I take as fact, the total truth and fact, is that Lord Chaitanya just objected to him being in the renounced order and having a confidential dealing and discussion, even about, you know, like I said, in one sense, it's he didn't decide to do it. Some other devotee that he regarded as more senior told them. I guess he should have said, no, I can't do that. I can't go. And you know, apparently, Lord Chaitanya had a very strict conception of sannyas life, what's appropriate and what isn't. I mean, eventually he got delivered. There's a lot of different things going on in that pastime. But even at the very end, you know, after all these things were revealed and everything, Lord Chaitanya is stuck to the point. You know, he didn't appreciate very much this kind of thing. And like I said, it's like, you know, it's difficult. You know, but that's the message that's being presented. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. No.